The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Hear God's holy word as it is recorded in the first book of Job. There is only one book. The book of Job, the second chapter. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going to and fro in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied, "a man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your strong comfort in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that even in bad times, in the valley of death, we do not have to fear any ill, for you are with us. Your rod and staff comfort us. Lord, grant us your Holy Spirit today, that he will comfort us in all the assaults by the evil one, that we remain convinced of your goodness, which is new every morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this week stands under the heading, The Strong Comfort. And we have the watchword from 2 Timothy, where we read that our Savior Christ Jesus has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. We all believe the gospel. It is what makes us rejoice and see more than just the sunlight. And whatever happens, we know God has brought forth eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. The story of Job is one of great comfort for us because we recognize how God deals with his elect. It is something which opposes any kind of theology of glory. All these nonsensical verses which say that success is the characteristic of God's people. It is not like that. We should very much rethink this on the basis of Holy Scripture, but also from our own experience. And that is why we need strong comfort, because we experience very different things than success. Here in this story, we hear of the inner rulings of the heavenly parliament, practically. The big executive which keeps the things in this world running in the way it does. And it becomes very clear that God, who is in control of everything, actually permits the catastrophes which have struck Job. Loss of his family, loss of his wealth, his prosperity, which was remarkable for those days, and now even his health is being attacked most severely, that he lies there like the poor Lazarus outside the house of the rich man, having sores from the top of his head right to the bottom, and being a shame to everyone who sees him. If we would look at a person like that, we would think he's absolutely cursed by God, that God is his enemy, and that God does not care for him. But this story gives us another perspective. It tells us it is not like that. It is especially because he is elect, because he is God's favorite. That is why he is the suffering servant. Now, it will cause a number of us to say, oh, I didn't bargain for that. When I enrolled for the fellowship of God and his congregation, I wanted prosperity and flourishing. But that was short-sighted, because the gospel from beginning to end always tells us this one verse which we know from the Psalms, that God's grace and goodness is even better than life. And if I have you, O Lord, I don't ask for heaven and earth. Now God, in his dealing with his elect, will let us prove this is in our experience. He will push you. Whether you think that he is the one who is the Lord of the meal, who has invited you, and where you are chosen to be sitting at the table with the Lord himself, or whether you think he is just the waiter who serves you while you are sitting at the table, and he brings you what you desire. You see, God, as our servant, the one who sees to it that we stay happy. Just say what you want, and God will do it. Now, from the beginning to the end of Holy Scripture, another picture is painted. Not only here with Job, but also with the suffering servant in Isaiah, who is probably the pinnacle of Old Testament prophecy, where it becomes very clear that people looking at him think he is the most despised and outcast by the living God. And we know it was the Word becoming flesh, already in Isaiah, pointing us to the one on the cross, whom Saul persecuted because he was the biggest idolater, claiming to be the Son of God, although he was suffering and dying on the cross. That's the Lord you are following, my dear friends. Are you like Peter, who says, no, 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 let that not happen to me? Or are you like St. Paul, who says, I know nothing else than Christ crucified. He, my Lord, who calls me to also pick up my cross and follow him, to follow him in this route. We will not only have fierce opposition from outside, like Satan pummeling us with all sorts of hardships. Just look at your own life and you will come up with countless stories. And not necessarily only like Jeremiah, who was sent as the God-fearing prophet into the cistern right in the middle of the palace. And just because of the African slave, he actually survived this terrible ordeal. No, these things sometimes are different. You will know your fair share of illness, of physical suffering too. And again, the voice will pipe up and say, well, like this woman said to Job, his own wife, when she says to him, curse God and die. The voice of your own conscience will say, well, if the godless prosper and I suffer like this, why should I follow Jesus? Psalm 73, put this into long and decisive words. It is the words of temptation to try and pull us away from the goodness of God, which endures day in, day out, even in death's dark veil. My dear friends, it is the strong comfort that we know from God's word that he does not push us too far, but that he keeps us, and that in all these experiences which we go through, be they as hard as they may seem to us at certain times, they all have that purpose to strengthen our faith and hope in him alone, because he alone is our God and Savior and nothing else. He is the Creator and much more relevant and important in our life than anything else. And he trains us, especially as future pastors, deaconesses, to not only confess that with our lips, but actually with our lives, that it becomes true that he is the one whom we seek. Not as a means to an end, as an instrument to something which we want to reach through him, but rather at the very end, the summum bonum, the highest good in our life, and even beyond this, our physical life. Job could stand up against his friends who were trying to mislead him as well, who were trying to point him at his own righteousness and saying, you must have done something wrong to suffer this. And God tells him, no, it is not that. The suffering servant, Jesus Christ himself, suffered innocently. And I want you to hang on to that in your temptations and in severe trials, that you never doubt that God has chosen and elected you to be his. Come what may. You should not try to interpret external appearances to be the reading of the gospel. No, the Holy Spirit works only through His Word and under the very opposite. Just look at Jesus Christ on the cross. And if you believe in Him, that He is the true Son of God, then listen to Him and don't be ashamed of the cross. Rather, recognize it is the power of God to save everyone who believes. Through the forgiveness of all our sin, our doubt, and all our temptations to seek His love and goodness in something else than in His Word, which He says, I have loved you from the very beginning. That is why I have pulled you towards Me more and more. And I'll never let you go. That's what He says to you, even today, as He forgives you your sins and leads you in peace to go your way and do your work to His honor and praise. To Him be praise now and forever. Amen. And the peace of our Lord, which passes all understanding, bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.